Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 669 of our three-year journey through the Word of God, and we've come to Isaiah chapter 2. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help before we dig into this wonderful chapter. Father in heaven, every bit of your word is wonderful. Every chapter, every verse breathed out by you, profitable to us, that we might glorify you in our lives as we are shaped by your word and your spirit to look more like Jesus. Father, shape us, teach us, grow us, challenge us, change us, comfort us, encourage us. We pray that you would do the work that you alone can do by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. And all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from the east, and of fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasure. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is filled with idols, and they bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. So man is humbled, and each one is brought low. Do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of men shall be humbled, for the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day. Against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, and against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, and against all the uplifted hills, against every high tower, and against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish, and against all the beautiful craft, and the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols shall utterly pass away, and the people shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. In that day, mankind will cast away their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they have made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to enter the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. Stop regarding a man in whose nostril is breath. For of what account is he? Isaiah 2. What a powerful, beautiful vision of what God is doing now and will do in the world when Christ comes again. It shall come to pass in the latter days. We are living in the latter days. And I don't mean that to say, oh, Jesus is coming next week or by the end of this year or within the next 10 years. We don't know. No one knows the day or the hour. But we do know biblically that we are living in the latter days. At the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when Peter gets up to preach, he says, what you are seeing here is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel, who said, in the last days, or in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. The book of Hebrews opens by telling us that in the past, God spoke at various times and in various ways to our fathers through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And when Paul writes to Timothy and talks about how in the latter days there will be scoffers who will accumulate for themselves teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear, Paul's talking about that day in which Timothy was pastoring as those latter days, those last days. And so that's the time we're living in. The Bible's very clear in the New Testament that really the day of Pentecost marks the beginning of the latter days, because the Holy Spirit's poured out on all flesh and the gospel goes out to all the nations. And here we have a picture in these early verses of Isaiah 2 of the gospel going out to all the nations and the nations coming into the people of God. So you have to remember that the mountain of the house of the Lord, Mount Zion, is now the church. It's spiritually that kingdom of God on earth represented by the church, which is in Daniel's vision, right? In actually Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2, which Daniel then interprets to him, this stone cut out by no human hand that strikes during the time of the Roman Empire grows into a mountain that fills the whole earth. And this is this picture of the mountain that grows to fill the whole earth. And so as the gospel goes forward, people from pagan lands who have been worshiping idols, people who are trapped in the darkness of ignorance and unbelief, they come and they say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. There are people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. There have been nations and tribes who have said, our gods have been false and they've misled us. Here is the one true God. Here is the truth. Let's go inquire of him. Let's go find out about him. And this is the spread of Christianity and the spread of the gospel. And it's happening even now as missionaries take the gospel to unreached people groups. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing. The gospel is advancing. Now, when Jesus comes again, he will bring a peace, right? There's kind of a twofold fulfillment, I think, to verse 4. When Jesus comes again, he will bring a peace that will be forever. There will be no more war anymore. But one of the things that has happened within these latter days, within history, is that the coming of the gospel into cultures has transformed the way that cultures think about war. Do you realize that before Christianity had a permeating influence in the cultures of the world, war was just an expected yearly thing that you would do because you were in tribe A and they were in tribe B, and it's time to go to war because you want what they have, they took what you had, you're taking back what they had. There were these cycles of endless warfare. Now, I know some of you learned from history, oh, Christianity has started all kinds of wars like the Crusades and the wars of religion. Yes, certainly there have been wars, unjust wars that have been perpetrated in the name of Christianity. But overall, Christianity has had an influence that has been to lessen warfare by advocating for only just wars, only wars that have a just cause and are carried out using just means. Now, it's not very often followed in real life, but it does have an impact. And so it wasn't really until the abandoning of Christianity as a permeating cultural influence that the world got really plunged into World War I and World War II in these catastrophic, cataclysmic events where tens of millions of people were being killed. So there is a peace that the gospel brings within history, but when Jesus comes again. So here we have the latter days are sort of bleeding into the second coming time, and when Jesus comes again, there will be a permanent end to all war forever. And living in the world that we live in now, we can be very thankful for that. And so the invitation in response to this to us as believers is to say, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There's great truth to be found. There's great wisdom to be found. There's great healing to be found. There's a great mission to be found. So come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And then Isaiah is reflecting here on the fact that God has pushed off his people, his covenant people. Why? Because his covenant people are full of things from the east, fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. That means they worship idols and they make foreign alliances and trust in those foreign alliances rather than trusting in the Lord. Rather than worshiping the Lord alone, they're worshiping foreign gods. And rather than trusting in the Lord alone for protection, they're making alliances with foreign nations and the gods of those nations. And so there's wealth, right? Land is filled with silver and gold, no end of the treasure. Land filled with horses, no end of the chariots. But also there's idolatry. The land's filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. Boy, is that an apt description of America in 2023, a land abundant in wealth and just as abundant in idolatry. And church, O house of Jacob, that's the church, that's not America, that's the church. Are we just as wealthy and idolatrous as the culture in which we live? Sometimes, yes. Sometimes the church, rather than being salt and light, is chasing right along after the same things that the world is chasing after. The wealth and the idolatry is just as prevalent among the people of God as it is among the nations. And we need to be cautious of that, because God will humble and God will bring down. And when Jesus comes again, starting in verse 10, we have real, definite second coming language. When Jesus comes again, it'll be the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, and everyone will be brought low and humbled who has exalted themselves against God, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Only God will be lifted up. Everything else that's been lifted up, oh, politics, oh, sports, oh, money, oh, career, whatever, everything else that's been lifted up will be cast down, and the Lord alone will be lifted up. The idols will pass away, and the Lord will come to judge. And so the takeaway point at the very end of the chapter, stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath. And the expression here is something like, stop regarding man who all he has is the breath that's in his nostrils. You think about that. You think about the person, right? All you have to do is stop up their nose, right? And all they have that's theirs, really, is just the breath that's in their nostrils. What good is that? Like, everything else is external to us. Everything else we need food, we need water. We are not self-sufficient. We are not self-existent. How dare we exalt ourselves against the God of the universe, who is alone self-existing, self-sufficient, eternally unchanging, who needs nothing. We need everything. So we need to stop regarding man, stop having pride, and stop having the fear of man control our lives, but instead to walk in the humble fear of the Lord and trust him to be the one who provides for us, protects us, leads us, guides us until we're home with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our faithful God. You are strong. You are mighty. You need nothing from anyone. We need to fear you. We need to walk in humility and gratitude before you. We need to depend on you. We need to trust in you. We need to follow you. Give us the grace to do so day by day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, that's Isaiah chapter 2. Tomorrow, I think we're back to the Gospel of John. Hope you can join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.